إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Still on كتاب النكاح from the book رمدة بلوغ المرام. Last week we took the hadith that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged the Muslims to marry a loving lady, the one that can procreate. And the reason is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to outnumber the prophets of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. So he encourages the Muslims to marry a loving woman and a prolific one. From this we say that this is one of the reasons why somebody gets married. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: تنكح المرأة لأربع، لمالها ولحطبها ولجمالها ولدينها، فظفر بذات الدين تربت يداك. متفق عليه مع بقية السبعة. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tunka wal mar'atu li arba'in." A woman is married li arba'in for four reasons. Limaliha, because of her wealth. Wali hasabiha, because of a status or because of the lineage. ولجمالها, because of her beauty. ولدينها, and because of her religiosity. فاغفر بذات الدين. Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, get the religious one, teribat yadak. If you refuse to do that, your hand will be rubbed with dust. Muttafaqun alayhi. This is agreed upon by Bukhari ma'a baqiyat al-sab'a, with the remaining of the seven. That is, the Ashab al-Sunan also reported this. Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam here mentioned four reasons. It is not that we should marry women for four reasons. He said women are married for four reasons. These four reasons, are they the only reasons why women are married? The answer is no. Because Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the previous hadith said, "Tazawwajul waluda al-wajud." Marry women that are loving, marry women that are prolific. So which means there are other reasons why people marry women, not just for reasons. But let me know if Allah Quran talks about four reasons here why people get married to women. He said for based on the awet, that is for awet. Some people marry women for awet. Some people marry women bihababiha, because of her status in the society. Walijamaliha, because of her beauty. Walidiniha, because of her religiosity. So four reasons. So I'll talk about what the love that somebody has for a woman. That is another reason. When you talk about a woman being able to procreate well, that's another reason. So many reasons. But these four reasons are very common with people. The Messenger of Allah did not discourage us. He didn't say don't marry beautiful women. He didn't say don't marry women that are worthy. He didn't say don't marry women that are noble. But he emphasized the religiosity. He emphasized a woman being religious. He said, if you do not marry a woman that is religious, you are most likely going to have problems. And that's why he said, what? Tari batia daka. Your two hands are going to be rubbed with dust for not marrying a woman that is religious. So if one marries a woman because of her religiosity, one is going to enjoy a lot of things. Because the woman that is religious means what you know of the deen, she knows. When she's asking you some things, she knows what to ask. What are the things that are halal? What are the things that are haram? If a woman is not religious, she wants you to do things that are what? That are haram, just to suit her whims and caprices. But if a woman is religious, she will not ask you to do something except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes halal. And she will not ask you to do something except what is in your capability. Because she has read the Quran, she has read the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She knows what? She knows what is right and what is wrong. And this is going to affect your children as well. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless both of you with children, she's going to train the children in an Islamic way. Likewise, this is also going to affect positively your relationship. The way she relates with the environment, the way she relates with the neighbor, because of her religiosity. And that is why the importance of a woman or a husband being religious is not something that one can believe. Very, very important. And that's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that. He said, far be that it be. When you want to get married, make sure you look for somebody that is religious. Tell you that to your dad, when you do not do this, your hand is going to be rubbed with dust. Your hand is going to be rubbed with dust if you don't do that. So some of the scholars said, tell you that to your dad, it's like saying, when you get one that is religious, it's like something of grace or something of, it's not something of course. But whatever be the reason, if you marry a religious woman, you are going to enjoy it. If you don't marry a religious woman, you are going to suffer from it. So and that's why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, talking about the good woman, Allah said what? فَالصَّلِحَاتِ قَانِتَاتِ. So the صَلِحَاتِ are قَانِتَاتِ. The good women are those that what? That live in that submit themselves for their husband. These are what? The good women. And a woman cannot be good except what? She's religious. Because it is the religion that will teach her to be submissive. So a woman that is not religious cannot be submissive. Now somebody may say, but there are women who know much about the deen, but are not submissive to their husband. They are not pious, so to say. What are you going to say about such women? The answer to that is that there are a lot of men who also know much of the deen, but they are not practicing people. So these are not the people that you are talking about. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama, it is the ulama that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about something that is wrong? So the one who knows and is acting contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is not alim. It's not alim. Because al-alim huwa alladhi ya'malu bima alim. The learned one is the one who acts in accordance with what he knows. He does not want to go against what he knows. This is an alim in truth. But for somebody to know and he does not implement, and he doesn't act in accordance with what he knows, such a person cannot be said to be alim. Likewise, a woman that acts contrary to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the fact that maybe she's a graduate of Islamic studies from so-and-so university, she's a graduate of so-and-so, she read hadith, she read, but when she behaves in a way that is contrary to the sunnah, she behaves in a way that is contrary to the Quran, she is not what? Alima. She's not learned. So, further, far be that deen, look for the religious one, meaning one who knows and implement. When you marry a woman that knows the religion and she implements the religion, tell her that you are going to be pleased with that. You are going to enjoy that. That's going to be success for you in this world and in the hereafter. However, that doesn't mean that one cannot marry for other reasons. And that's what the Prophet of Allah said was, Tunka will marry after the Arba'in. People, most of the time, will marry for four reasons. So it is not haram for somebody to see a woman or a lady that is wealthy and she wants to marry her because of her wealth. Islamically, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. So one can marry a woman because of her wealth. Why? If the man is poor and she marries a woman that is wealthy, maybe this was also assist him. Maybe it will also assist the children. Because if the woman dies, for instance, the children are going to inherit her. So it's like what? They have benefited as well. And if the woman happens to die before the man, according to the Islamic law, the man is also entitled to what? Part of the work. So which means there is also benefit in that. If a woman marries somebody that is worthy, it's not haram. The Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married to Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija radiallahu anha was one of the worthiest women in Makkah. And when she was interested in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not worth, it is haram. So which means there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with it. But is it the best? The answer is no. Likewise, a woman is noble in the society. A man may decide to marry such a woman so that what he can also be ascribed to her. That man is the husband of so and so woman, the daughter of so and so. So the man is also gaining what? A kind of popularity. This is not what? It's not wrong as well. But is it the best? The answer is what? No. Likewise, because of the beauty of the woman. People marry women because of her beauty. It is not haram. In fact, it is something that is not. It's also good. But it's not what the priority is. It's good. As we shall reach, Messenger of Allah will encourage people to also look at what a woman before you are married to such a woman. So if she pleases you, then you watch, you do the khizbah. So what the Messenger of Allah mentioned here is not that it is haram to do that. It's not that it is haram to do that. But the one that Messenger of Allah recommended is that the woman should be married because of her religiosity. The woman should be married because of her religiosity. That is the best. So these four reasons, coupled with the two reasons mentioned earlier, that is for a woman to be al-wadud, for a woman to be al-wadud, we have so many reasons that somebody may marry a woman. In fact, marrying somebody who is previously married is also something that works. That is the reason. As Jad was Allah and said, he married somebody who was what previously married. Not because of anything, in order to take care of the younger ones. So many reasons. So and you cannot say, okay, this particular reason is wrong. As long as what you can bring evidence that says it is wrong in Islam. Allahu a'lam. وعنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا رفع إنسانا إذا تزوج قال بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما بخير. This hadith is also related to nikah from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه. He said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا رَفَّعَ إِنْسَانًا, if he congratulated or he supplicated for a person or congratulated the person, إِذَا تَزَوَّجْ, if the person got married, قَالْ, he will say, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَيْكَ, may Allah bless you and also send blessings upon you. وَجَمَعَ بَيْنَكُمَا فِي خَيْرٍ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring both of you together in goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring both of you together in goodness. رواه أحمد, الإمام أحمد الفضل والأربعة and the four. وصححه الترمذي, and the Imam الترمذي authenticated it for ابن خزيمة وابن حبان. Likewise ابن خزيمة and ابن حبان. In the Jahiliyyah, when the people got married, what they used to say is بالرفاي والبنين. What is رفاء? رفاء is accord. Likewise, goodness. So they will say, "Rifai, we pray for you that you have good effort, you have good union, walbani, and you have what children." So they will say, "Rifai, walbani." So they will do this. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam substituted that with this by saying, "Barakallahu lak." وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما في خير. أتنسى أنه قال له بارك الله فيك وبارك لك, أو بارك الله فيكم وبارك لكم, وبارك الله لك وبارك عليك. Stopping here. The most important thing is what to use the word بارك. Using the word بارك instead of saying what بالرفاء والبنين. We pray for you, Arifa, Akhwat, that is for you to live together, in peace, and what? Albani, for you to have children. There are so many other things, so many other goods that have not what mentioned yet. So when you use barakah, barakah is what? Al-khayr. So that is what? The other besides. Good upon goodness. So when you barakallahu lak, may Allah bless you, wa baraka alayk, and may Allah send blessings upon you. So this works as a compound all forms of good. So it's all about using the rifai wal baneen. It is preferred to say what? Barakallahu lak. Aw barakallahu laka. Aw barakallahu fik wa baraka lak. Aw barakallahu laka wa baraka alayk wa jam'a baynakuma fi khayr. As I've said, the most important thing is what? To send barakah. Rather than saying what? The rifa' wal baneen. And that is why, as Muslims, we should make effort to use what Islam encourages us. We should make effort to use what Islam encourages us to use. So when we are supplicating for people, we supplicate with what Islam has recommended. It's just like what? When we interslave. So assalamu alaikum is what? It's better than what? Saying good morning, good afternoon. Or using your own language, ekab, and things like that. Now it's not like it's haram to say that. But which one is better? What is better is what? The Islamic greeting. That is what is better. So this is something that is also important. So when people get married, we ask for the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to show that we are also happy with what has happened to both of them. So we send barakah to both of them or ask for Allah's barakah for both of them. This is something that is also important. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu called, from Abdullah the son of Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, عَلَّمَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ التَّشَهُدَ فِي الْحَاجَةِ. He said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us التَّشَهُد فِي الْحَاجَةِ. What is التَّشَهُد فِي الْحَاجَةِ? This is what will be mentioned. That is, whenever we are engage in anything, we should do tashahud. And that is why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu khutbatin laysa fiha tashahudun fahiya kalyadin jazma." He said, any khutbah, any speech being delivered, there is no tashahud in it, fahiya kalyadin jazma, is like an ant cut off. So tashahud is very, very important. And that is the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will use this. Whether in nikah or outside nikah, in other than nikah. So we say this, that is called what? Khutbatul Hajah. Whether in nikah or outside nikah. Because kullu khutbatin, any speech, laysa fiha tashahud, that does not contain tashahud, fahiya kalyadin jazma. Is like a hand cut off. And that is why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Jabir radiallahu anhu said, that whenever he was observing khutbah or a hadith, he would say after before commencing any speech, he would say what? After this tashahud, you also say فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. That is after tashahud, you will say what? فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ or فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْكَلَامِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, عَلَّمَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ التَّشَهُدَ فِي الْحَاجَةِ. The Messenger of Allah taught us tashahud فِي الْحَاجَةِ. Whenever you are engaged in anything. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا. In another report, وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ويكره صلاة آيات then after that he will recite three verses رواه أحمد أحمد reported this والأربعة and the four وحسنه الترمذي والحاكم and a Trimidhi declared to be Hassan likewise Al-Hakim now why did the author why did he bring the hadith here he brought it here to tell us that when you want to give khutbah sorry khutbah it is good to start with this or when an abdu is going to take place it is good what to start with this because it is harder it's something is a need that you are engaged in so you start with what with khutbatul hajj the khutbatul hajj whether you want to give khutbah or you want to do aqd this is what is good based on what the Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said كل خطبة ليس فيها تشهد فهي كاليد الجزماء عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه said متن of Allah was إن الحمد certainly all praise لله due to Allah is due to Allah نحمده we praise him ونستعينه and we ask for his help ونستغفره and we seek his forgiveness ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our souls من يهدي الله whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides فلا مضل له there is nobody that can make the person go astray وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes to go astray فَلَا هَدِيَ لَهُ there is nobody that can cause him to be guided وَأَشْهَدُ اللَّهُ إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهُ I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُ وَرَسُولِهِ and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant of Allah wa rasuluh and his messenger. So messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say this. Now there are some things that some of our brothers, maybe the Jews, take for instance, some will say instead of ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, they will say mashhadu. It is wrong. You cannot do shahada for somebody. He will do shahada for himself. So, not wa ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, that is wrong. It is what? Wa ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. You do your own shahada. Not that wa ashhadu. You can speak for yourself. So this is wrong. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala pointed to this in some of his books. That some people sort of say, وأشهد الله إلا الله بسوى نشهد الله إلا إلا الله so and this is not okay now if one with those three verses is good one with those three verses is good but if one doesn't read them it's also what? The tashahud is there huh? The most important aspect of the tashahud is what? Is وأشهد الله إلا إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This is the most important part of it. And that's why it is called tashahud. The one we do in our salah. It is called tashahud because of this. When you say التحيات لله الزكيات لله الطيبات صلاة الله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So this is why it's called tashahud. The most important aspect. Some people, when they are observing Salah, they will just stop at what Wala Ibadillahi Salihin. So they will say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. They've not done tashahud. And tashahud is what? It's composing in Salah. So a lot of people, as a result of what? Ignorance. They won't do this. So the same thing is applicable here. So is it permissible for one to say, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasulu, wa ba'd? Is it permissible to say that? Yes, it's permissible. You have done tashahud. But if you want to make it full, then you say what? You say in the way it is there. And that's why some of the scholars, when they are writing books, you will see that what maybe they just make it brief. And at times you see, they say something that is lengthy, like this. And some people, when they are delivering talk, they make it brief as well. Some will make it lengthy by saying everything. All these are permissible according to the more correct opinion of the scholars. Some of the opinions that you have to say this. But when we look at the practices of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, to see that at times he will not say things like this, that is in some of the instances, particularly when writing to some of the writing letters. He may just say what, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and watch. Just bring something. So this will say to what it is the right of the shahud completely. Because there is something that has to do with what? Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it as well. So as I have said, it is important to practice and note this. Whether we are engaging in what? Khitbah, or we are engaging in abdu, or in many other things that we do. We use inna alhamdulillah. It is good to do that. وعن جابر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. From Jabir, he said, the Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا خطب أحدكم المرأة, if anyone of you proposes to a woman, فإن استطاع أن ينظر من إلى ما يدعوه إلى نكاحها فليفعل. If he is able to look at what calls or invite him to proposing to that lady, فليفعل, he should do. رواه أحمد. Ahmad reported this, wa Abu Dawood, and Abu Dawood, wa rijaluhu siqat, and the men of the shame are siqat, wa sahahu al-hakim, and al-hakim authenticated this, wa lahu shahidun inda at-Tirmidhi wal-Nasa'i an al-Mughira, and there is a shahid, a supporting evidence for this, which al-Imam at-Tirmidhi reported, likewise Nasa'i from Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah. وعند ابن ماجه, likewise, and ابن ماجه, the son of ابن ماجه, وابن حبان, likewise, صحيح ابن حبان, من حديث محمد بن مسلمة, from hadith of Muhammad bin Maslama. Now all these hadith and all these shawaij, they are pointing to the fact mentioned earlier, that when one proposes to a lady, one has the right to look at the lady. Because the beauty is also what part and parcel of it. Though not the most important thing. The most important thing is the religiosity of the lady. But the beauty is also part of it. And what appeals to you may not appeal to another person. So if somebody sees a lady and is fascinated by the lady. This is better than somebody who proposes to a lady, but he doesn't like the lady. Maybe the parents forced him to do that, or something like that. And I think this has been discussed last week. So Messenger of Allah encouraged the companion, إِذَا خَطَبَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَرْأَةِ, if one of you proposes to a lady, فَإِنْ سَتَعَنْ يَنْظُرَ مِنْ عِلَى مَا يَدْعُوهِ إِلَى نِكَحِيَا, if he can look at what he's inviting him to marry a فَلْيَفَعَلْ, he should do. Jabir رضي الله عنه, we have read a hadith, so to say, or we have mentioned a hadith about him, that he said to Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Messenger of Allah asked him, and he said he was married. Messenger of Allah said, what? Are you married to a virgin, or you are married to a previously married woman? He said, a previously married woman. Messenger of Allah said, what? Ala bikran tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuka وَتُضَحِكُهَا وَتُضَحِكُكَ. Why can't you marry a virgin that you'll be playing with, and she will also be playing with you? So you'll be laughing with her, she'll also be laughing with you. And he explained the reason why he married somebody that was previously married. Now the same Jabir radiallahu anhu, this is like what, his second wife. So he proposed to another lady. So he said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا خَطَبَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَرْأَةِ, if one of you proposes to a lady, فَإِنْ سَطَعَ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَا إِلَى مِنْهَا إِلَى مَا يَدْعُوهُ إِلَى نِكَاحِهَا فَلْيَفْعَلْ, if we can see what invite him to marry her, he should do. In our page, as contained in Sunan Abi Dawud, that is the completion of this hadith, he said, فَخَطَبْتُ إِمْرَأَةً, I now propose to a lady. He said, فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَخَبَّأُ لَهَا, then I was now hiding from her. حَتَّى رأيت ما دعاني إلى نكاحها وتزوجها فتزوجتها, until I now saw in her what invited me to marry her, and what I got married to her. This is the completion of this hadith. So which means someone may give a woman khitbah. Khitbah is nothing. The only thing is that what, when you give a khitbah and your fellow Muslim brother knows that you have given a lady khitbah, he doesn't have the right to what, to go and give the same person khitbah. But if he doesn't know, he has the right to go. But if he knows, he does not have the right to give the same lady khitbah. If he does that, he has what? He has betrayed you. So this what is wrong Islamically. But as I said, that khitbah is nothing. Khitbah doesn't mean what? Acceptance. You give a lady khitbah, you still have what? The right to say, okay, I want to carry on, I'm no longer interested. You still have that right, Islamically. You still have what? The right, Islamically. And when you give a lady khitbah, just as she has the right to say, okay, let me look at it. Maybe she's looking at it for a period of a month, 2 months, and after that she says, sorry, I'm not interested. Don't say, wallahi, these are our sisters, they do not understand the thing. I don't know what is wrong with them. No, you have the right to propose, and she has the right to also what? Reject. The fact that she rejects doesn't mean what, she doesn't have understanding of the thing. Maybe what you are considering in her is not what she's considering in you. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has proposed to a woman, and the woman rejected the offer. Fakana madha? Then what is wrong with that? Imagine Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving a proposal to a woman, and the woman what? rejecting the proposal. And you know, Allah did not say, Wallahi, this is a miskina. She doesn't understand anything of the thing. Now you are using your own angle to judge the issue. So what is what an authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari? So she has the right to reject the offer, to turn down the offer. Just as when you give proposal, you still have what? Time. Maybe you want to study art. The only thing that what you have just given proposal, maybe after some time you may say, sorry, I'm no longer interested. Act has not taken place. And it's not the way a lot of us are doing it, that when you give feedback, the next thing to us, let us meet at, so then you now, maybe you take yourself to tantalizer and start eating. No. This is what haram in Islam. Khitba doesn't mean what? Aqdu. When you give khitba, you have the right to watch, to be watching the lady, to be observing her. Just as Jabir the Lord Anu said, فَخَطَبْتُ جَارِيَةً فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَخَبَّوْ لَهَا حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ مِنَا مَا دَعَانِ إِلَىٰ لِكَحِيَا وَتَزَوُّجِهَا فَتَزَوَّجْتُهَا. So this is what with respect to Jabir radiallahu anhu. The author also mentioned Muhammad bin Maslama. Muhammad bin Maslama also gave khitbah to a lady and was also observing her. Till was what? He was convinced. So likewise, Al-Mughir ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, similar thing also happened. When he gave khitbah to a lady, the Messenger of Allah told him, Al-Nazarta ilayha, do you look at her? He said, no. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what? He said, Fandu ilayha, go and look at her. Fainnahu ahrayu dama baynakuma. When you look at her and you are pleased with her, this will call for you living a better life. This will call for you living a better life. As contained in Muslim of Imam Ahmad, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah said he went to the house of this lady and met the parents. And he told them, the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said I should come and look at the lady. The parents, initially they were not in support of that. It's like they detested that. But when they had the Messenger of Allah said, what, you should come and look. So the lady said, the lady herself now said, if the Messenger of Allah has said that, then come. But if the Messenger of Allah has not said that, please don't come. And he looked at the lady, and he was pleased with her. And he said, that lady was the one that was with him to throw out his life. In Muslim Imam Ahmad, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah was married to about 70 women. So 70 women, that is divorcing them. But this one remained with him to the end of his life. So when we talk about maybe talak, if one did not pick the right choice, this can what hasten the issue of talak. Maybe a woman that maybe somebody just forced or imposed on you. So, and you're not pleased with the woman, but you just accepted because you don't want to hurt the person that has suggested the lady to you. So this may not last long. But if truly you love the woman and she loves you, as we quoted last week, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi said, what? لَمْ يُرَ لِلْمُتَحَابَّيْنِ مِثْلُ النِّكَاحِ. Two people who fall in love with one another, there is nothing that is as good as both of them getting married. So the shy there is that one should look at the one that one wants to marry. As you said, it's not the most important. The most important is what? The religiosity. But if the woman is religious and she obeys you, she puts herself in the place that Allah, our Creator, has put her. Even if you do not like the woman, because of our religiosity, you tend to love the woman. Because you know that this person is assisting me as far as my religion is concerned. You look at your family, you see the way the woman is bringing up your children. You look at her, you see the way she's maintaining the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be happy. Unless, if you yourself are not religious. If you are religious, you find a woman that is not religious, you want to keep such a woman. Then other things, beauty, jamal, habab, and they can come watch, they can follow. But at the same time, we will not say beauty is not part and parcel of it. Because why not be part and parcel of it? Messenger of Allah would have said, watch. Because the Ansar, they have something in their eyes. They said, because they have small eyes. So it's not something that what you do and later what you regret. Go and look at our way. So Messenger of Allah said this to a lot of companions. Muhammad bin Maslama, Al-Mughira bin Shurba, Jabir bin Abdullah, and many others like that. And that is why it is very, very important to do this. So that one will not regret it. When you look at the woman that you want to marry, this is what ahra and yudama baynakuma. This will lead to what you, both of you, leading a better life. So this is something that is important. Now looking at the woman, where are you supposed to look in ah? Where are you supposed to look in ah? Now ordinarily, when we go by the position that the face is not an aura. So this is what something that you can easily see. When a woman is going and what you are interested in marrying her, in that case it is permissible for you to look at her. The basis is that you looking at a woman is what is not permissible. That's the basis. It is haram. A woman is going and you start looking at her, haram. But it is permissible when you have the interest of what? I want to get married. Then you have what? The right to look because of that intention. It's just like a doctor looking at the aura of the opposite sex. It is haram. But for the reason of what treating him or her, the male or female doctor may see the aura for what? For that reason. So Islam allows that because that is what? Darura. What darurat to qadr bi qadriha. And darurat should not be blown out of what? Proportion. That is what? Necessity. So these ones, we say what? They are haram. And that's why Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la tutbi'i nazra tan nazra. When you look at a woman at the first glance, don't repeat it. The first one may just happen like that. Maybe you are looking this way, and all of a sudden a woman just passes in front of you. And you watch, you see her. The Messenger of Allah, don't repeat it again. La tutbi'i nazra nazra fa inna laka al-wula. The first one is overlooked because you did not do it intentionally. وَلَيْسَتْ لَكَ الْآخِرَةُ. When you repeat it again, sin is written against you. And we know that what? A lot of people do this. And that was why one of the uncles of the Messenger of Allah Islam is Radith al-Abbas, his son Al-Fablu, during the Hajj period, there was a lady that was passing, and Al-Fadlu was looking at that lady. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to turn the neck of Al-Fadlu. Al-Abbas said, Ya Rasulullah, lima lawayta ulfa ibn ammik? Why did you turn the neck of the son of your uncle? The Messenger of Allah said, what? Ra'aytu shabban wa shabbatan, falam aman alayhim ash-shaytan. He said, I saw a young boy, a young man and a young lady, and I'm afraid that Shaitan may use both of them. So the aspect is that it's not permissible to look at women. So a lot of people fall into it. And that is why it is seen as part of what? Part of lamam. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, watch. I do not know of anything that watch is like lamam. Like what? You looking at a woman that you are not supposed to look at. And that's the message of Allah said, what? Kutiba ala ibn Adam, habdubu min al-zina. La muhalata huwa mudriku. That is, every son of Adam have his own question of zina that he will commit. However, add his tribe to be away from him, he will fall into it. He said, what? Al-Ainani tells me, the two eyes commit zina. Was in Awman Nazar. The zina of the two eyes is what? An Nazar to look at. Which means it is what? It's sinful. But it's not one of the kabairu dhunub. But when one now persists on what? On it, gazing at women all the time, gazing at women, it becomes what? A kabira. Because al-israru ala saghira kabira. When you continuously practice what is said to be saghira, it becomes what? Kabira. So unless if you are doing that because of the interest that you have, maybe you are interested, you want to get settled, or you want to marry, then when you see women you are looking, then in that case you are what? Your case is justified. But somebody who is not interested in taking another wife, or who is not interested in what in mind, the first wife, so he's now getting at every woman. If he persists on that, it becomes what? A kabira on his part. So if a woman is not a munakaba, you see her, and you have that intention of what? Marrying. She passes again, you look at her again. Maybe she passes again, you look at her again. This is not haram. So this is what Jabir of Allah says. فَخَطَبْتُ جَارِيَةً فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَخَبَّوْ لَهَا. I propose to a lady. فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَخَبَّوْ لَهَا. After that, I was not hiding from her. حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ مِنْهَا مَا دَعَانِي إِلَى نِكَحِهَا وَتَزَوُّجِهَا فَتَزَوَّجْتُهَا. Until I saw what impressed me in her, then I now watch. We now did the act. So, if that was Fajr al-Khabbar, I was hiding from her. So this issue of what do they call it? Boyfriendship, girlfriendship, that both of them will be going out. This is what haram. It is haram. It doesn't have what place in Islam. Because you proposed to a sister, doesn't mean both of you should be going out. Doesn't mean you should what? Be going out. So when you want to speak with her, it must not be something that we want, that will be long, as if both of you are already husband and your wife. No. Haram. So it must be for something that is necessary. Maybe you just want to ask her a question. But for us to say, okay, let me speak with my fiancée, so you now load your phone with credit and start what? Discussing, an hour, 30 minutes, you'll be enjoying. So this is what? It's what? It's dinner of the year. It's dinner of what? The year. The reason Allah said what? Well, it was nani. The 2 years, tells me, yeah, they commit dinner. Well, dinner of my age, at summer, with the same man. The dinner is what? The hearing. So you are enjoying her voice. She's also enjoying what? Your voice. Why both of you have not done what? After. So this is what? It's not permissible. So after the act, do both of you are what? Husband and what? A wife. If anyone happens to die, even if the woman has not moved to the house, Islamically, I'm not talking about the Yoruba culture or the Igbo culture or the Hausa culture. Islamically, if one of them happens to die, the other has the right to inherit. If she has not gotten a mar before, the mar ought to be what? Complete. This is Islam. But the most unfortunate thing is that what? We Muslims and we brothers, we are the people that work to realize things like this. And this is what the Sunnah says. The woman will inherit, and the man will also inherit, as long as what aqd has been done. So walimatun nikah is different from what aqdun nikah. No aqdun nikah, no walimatun nikah. But I mean the aqdun nikah and what? No walimatun nikah. It's not zina. The way some of our brothers want people to believe today, that if you do not do walimatun nikah, you are committing zina. This is what accusing people. It's defamation. Because walimatun nikah, no scholar on the surface of the earth has said that walimatun nikah is ruknun min arkanin nikah or shartun min shurutis sihhatin nikah. No scholar. The ayahs that you can see is those who say walimatun nikah is what? Wajiba. But it's on its own. Just as some people will say what? The qama is what? Wajib. Iwajiba. Adhan is what? Wajib. But if somebody observes salah and he doesn't do iqama, does he have salah? He has salah. He may be simple for not doing iqama. But what he has? Salah. But the issue of nikah is not good at what? The walimatun nikah is not as strong according to the scholar. Huh? Like what? That of iqama. So we should separate khitba, aqdu, walimatun nikah. Khitba doesn't mean anything. The only thing that what? Gives the khatib is that what? If somebody knows that he has given the khitba, that person should not go and propose to that same lady. But if he doesn't know, another person can watch, can come. Now, and the lady that somebody has proposed to her is not compulsory on her, that when another person comes to her, that she should tell the person that has come that somebody has proposed to me. So I'm still considering. No. She can take as many proposals as what possible. Then she now decides which one she's going to take. Then after that, they move to what? To the level of acting. As I said, issue of going out with one another doesn't come in Islam. It doesn't come in at all. So if she decides that, okay, I've accepted the proposal of this, then in that case, they can proceed to what? To the act. Now, what can you see on in the woman if she is what? If she is not a munakaba, if she is not a munakaba, that is clear. If she is a munakaba, that means for you to see her, there will be involvement of the relatives also. Maybe the father or the mother, maybe you go to them. And in that case, maybe she works, she take off the niqab, so that's what you can see her face. So in a situation like this, it is better what the relatives of the lady are involved in something like this. But if she's not a munakaba, you can see easily. The way Jabir radiallahu anhu did. Now, can you see more than the face and the palm? Can you see more than that? Some scholars say no, you can't see more than that. But what is correct is that what you can see more than that, but not by agreement. The way some brothers want to understand. Some brothers, we practice something like that, okay, that some scholars have said you can see more than that, take off your hijab, I want to look at your hair, let me see your neck. In the way some brothers are there, things like this, they are happy that, oh, so I can see more than that. So this is not what the scholars are saying. No, Jabir radiallahu anhu said what? فَجَعَلْتُ أَتَخَبَّوْ لَا أَتَخَبَّوْ لَا. You can see not by what agreement. not by agreement. But you can see more than what the face. But maybe by just if that will not harm you. Because somebody will respond and watch his friend is broken. But the most important thing is that you can see more than watch the face. But not for you to agree with the lady that take off this. Now if you have me said yes, you can watch. But this is not, it's not correct. The old Zohiri, or the Zohiriya, the tip towards this, but this is not correct. Now there is one asar that is common, so to say, and that is the asar of the daughter of Ali, Ummu Kulsum, who Umar radiallahu anhu proposed to. And Ali sent, in the asar, it was said that Ali sent Ummu Kulsum to Umar. When she got to Umar, Umar lifted the garments of the lady, uncovering her shank. And the lady said, Laula annaka amirul mu'minin la safa'atu wajhak. If not that you are amirul mu'minin, I would have slapped your face. But this affair is not authentic. Now it is authentic that Umar got married to Ummu Kulsum, the daughter of Ali. But not authentic that what Umar lifted the garment and the lady said, if not that you are with me, I would have slapped your face. This is not authentic. Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala authenticated it before, but later he discovered that what it was a mistake on his part, and it is recanted, so to say, on that. But the fact that you can see more than the face still remains, based on the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu and that of Muhammad bin Maslama, that you can see more than the face. But for you to not say, okay, take off your hijab, let me see. I want to look at your neck. So ordinarily, we would not like to do that. Ordinarily, we would not want to do that. So, and it's not right for one to ask them to do something like that. If you want to see more than that, then you can send somebody, maybe a sister of yours, and things like that, that what? Maybe they can, that can see more than you can see. That can see more than what you can see. So that she can feed you with some information. Rather than say what? Maybe a woman should take off the hijab and things like that. Even when you go to the parents' house, it's not permissible to also ask for that. It's not permissible. Now, some people, they are very rigid on their daughters, that they don't want people to see the face of their daughter. What would they do? They will not take the pictures. Some of the Arabs will practice that. So it is the picture of the lady that was, they look at. So when you like the lady in the picture, then you do have to. So when you don't like the lady in the picture, then you can go. But they consider it as what? A kind of shame and disgrace for you to watch, see the face of your daughter that you will not cover, then after that you say you are not interested. But frankly speaking, women should not see that as much as it is this. If you cover your face, and maybe somebody is interested, maybe through a person, you allow the person to look at what the face, but this should be in the midst of maybe relatives or something like that. So, but for us to say, okay, it is what haram, no. Islam does not encourage that, okay, a woman who is in niqab, she should be married like that without looking at. Because that is what is against what the Messenger of Allah said. Al-Nazarta ilayha. The man said, no. He said, undur ilayha. Go and look at. Fa'inna bi'ayun al-ansari shaytan. There is something in the watch, in the eyes of the ansar, that is, they said they have no eyes. So go and look at that. So, is it in the court that the man will be looking at only? No. So, and that's why one cannot say it is haram to do that. And a woman should not see that, wallahi, these brothers, they are not pious at all. Why must you be asking me to take off the niqab? Wallahi, they are not pious. No. this award is going overboard on the part of such a woman as well. ولمسلمين أن أبي هريرة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال للرجل تزوج مرأة أن نظرت إليها. الإمام مسلم also reported from أبو هريرة that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said to a man تزوج مرأة that married a woman أن نظرت إليها. Have you looked at her? قال لا. He said no. قال اذهب فانظر إليها. He said go and look at her. Go and look at her. So as I've said, there are a lot of hadith encouraging looking at the women that one wants to get married or one wants to propose. And when the khitbah is done, that doesn't mean that what the aqdu are taking place. Khitbah is different from what? From aqdu. There are some things that are important here as well. Some people who want to marry young girls, maybe a girl that has just finished secondary school and want to propose to such a lady, it is not okay for you to approach such a lady because the parents may not want her in that age to get married at that time. So rather than meeting the lady, the girl, go and meet the parents. That, oh, your daughter so and so, I want you, the man will tell you that okay, she's ripe or not. That is, maybe you would like to allow her or release her at that time or not. But when maybe a girl of 13 or 14 that has just finished secondary education, you now call her and you say, Alhamdulillah. Now this is a green on. She doesn't know anything. Now when you endear yourself to her, at this stage, you may ruin her life. Rather than meeting her, why not meet the father who will convince her, who will tell her that, okay, do this, and your life is worth it. But when you watch, you put love in her, and the lady was forced for you, you may disrupt her life. When she sleeps, she'll be thinking about that. So she will not be able to concentrate on anything in her life. So why not meet the father? And the father will put her out right. This is what's important. I'm saying this because there is no text that says if you want to marry a lady, you must go to the parents. You can talk to the lady. At the same time, you can go to the parents. Both we have what in the history of Islam. Abu Talha proposed to Umm Sulaym. He didn't go to what? To the parents of Umm Sulaym. So this, and Umm Sulaym said to Abu Talha, I would have loved to marry you, but what? You are not a Muslim. And it was because of that, because he loved Umm Sulaym. She said, I'm going to embrace Islam. And she said that if you embrace Islam, Islam that you have embraced is going to do what? Mamaha. And he did that. So which means it's not a must that if you want to marry a woman, you have to go to the... So and we also have cases. Like the case of Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah that went to watch the parents of that woman, that lady that he wanted to marry. But now, we are talking about you speaking to a lady that has not understood much. So that cannot really decide what appear. Take for instance, the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about what? The ithn of a sayyid, a woman that is previously married, maybe divorcee or a widow. That's what she will talk. But a woman that is what? Bikru, a virgin. He said what? Ibnuha sumatuha. A what? Our silence is what? It's our approval. So that will be what? In the presence of the Father, which means we cannot control our affair by ourselves. Unlike what? A mutallaqah, a divorcee, or a woman that is what? That is previously married or a widow. Unlike that, so this is something that we ought to understand. So, brothers should not go after the young ladies that are yet to decide or that cannot decide their affairs by themselves, because this may ruin their life. So if at all one is interested in such a lady, one should go to the parents. So if the parents, the father cooperates with one, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't, then you look for another person. It's not a thought that appear that cannot be blocking the young lady to be somewhere trying to watch to convince her. And she cannot decide on her own. So wallahu a'lam. Inshallah, we stop here. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ba'd. What is good is for one to say it the way Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would start a study. That is what is good. But isti'ana is not like what? It's not like shahada. So if one says nasta'inu, this is what is permissible. But the way Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do the khutbatul haja, let us see that. It was never reported Messenger of Allah would say what? He said what? Inna alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyi'ati a'mal man yahdihillah huwa al-muhtadi wa man yahdihillah fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu. So it is the Wanesh Hadu. So those who say Wanesh Hadu, it is what from Nahmaduhu wa Nasta'inuhu wa Nastaghfiruhu wa Na'udhu Billah. This is what lead them to say what? Wanesh Hadu. So let us say the way Messenger of Allah has said it. So Nasta'inuhu is not like what? Nashhadu. Wallahu A'lam. Now, in the hadith, it was not said that there was a particular importance to it. But when we look at it, that they are all pointing towards having piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Ya ayyuhan nas inna ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa bassa minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisaa wattaqu allaha alladhi tasaaluna bihi wal arham inna allaha kana alaykum raqiba. So if you look at that, you see that what is asking us to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, the other one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, taqu Allah wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Wa man yuti' Allah wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan 'azima. So that's the last one. The middle one, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. Okay, now this, if you look at them, they are talking about the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now that in some of the ahadith, as I said, they are not yet. So they stop at So they stop yet. So another way the author said what? After that he will recite what the three verses. So it is some of the reports they are not yet. So but is there any particular importance mentioned? It is from what? From the citation of those verses that one will say what they are emphasizing piety, likewise worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So Allahu a'lam. Now. نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. So the one who misses صلاة الوتر by slipping over. So what the person will do is that during the time of duha, he will add a rakah to what he's used to. If he's used to praying three rakah, he adds what a rakah to it, making it four rakah. That is in the time of duha. So this is what he does. So if he's used to what observing five rakah, he will add one to it, making what six. If he's used to praying one rakah, he will add one to it. He will observe what two. And this is based on the hadith that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if he slept off or he didn't pray the witru, he observed 12 rakah in the day. So and Messenger of Allah was used to observing 11 rakah at night. So since he observed 12 rakah, if he was unable to observe his witru, that shows the one who is also used to observing 3 rakah should pray what 4. So this is what the scholars have said, wallahu a'lam. Okay. No? Isa? Now that if one does not recite the Surah Al-Fatiha behind the Imam, that one has what? One has missed the rakah. And that is an opinion. That is the opinion of Al-Imam Bukhari, Ibn Hazmi, and some other scholars. But what most scholars are upon is that if one is praying behind the Imam and the Salah is what? The recitation is allowed. That one does not recite behind the Imam. This is the opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala from among the later scholars. Likewise is the opinion of Al-Imam Malik from among the past scholars. So that when you hear the recitation of the Imam, you don't recite. But people like Al-Imam Bukhari, Ibn Hazmi, they say the fact that you hear the recitation of the Imam doesn't mean you should not recite. Because la salat al-Imam lam yakra bi fatihat al-kitab. So you have to recite. When are you to recite? It's either you recite as the Imam is reciting. If you recite a verse, you recite a verse. If you recite a verse, you recite a verse. Or you wait till the Imam finishes the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Then why is reciting other surah, you recite your own Surah Al-Fatiha. So Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, the book which is titled Juz'ul Qira'ah, talking about recitation in Salah only. Now there is the opinion of the Hanafiya, who was the opinion that you don't recite behind the Imam at all. You don't recite behind the Imam at all. Whether the Salah is what, the recitation is allowed or is what, silence, you don't recite behind the Imam. So, and you base the argument on what? Man kana lahu imamun fa qira'atul imam lahu qira'ah. So whoever has an imam, the recitation of the imam is what, sufficient. But that hadith, it's declared to be da'if by most scholars of hadith. However, Sheikh Al-Albani was indicated it. But most scholars of hadith, there is what? It's da'if. So, this opinion that I've had, that the one who is praying behind the imam must recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Huh? We are not talking about other surah. Must recite Surah Al-Fatiha behind the imam. Whether silent, whether the imam is reciting silently or is reciting aloud, that he must recite. It is an opinion of Al-Imam Bukhari, Ibn Hazm, Barakfuri, and some others who took that position. As I've said, some of the opinion that we don't recite when the Imam is reciting aloud. But if it's reciting silently, compulsory you have to recite. This is the position of Sheikh Al-Albani, Rahmahullah Ta'ala, and some other scholars. Now, this is what is a controversial issue that one should not be rigid on. So if somebody says this, he has what, his point. And the one who says the other also has his own point. But we can just address the issue as an academic exercise. To say, okay, my position is stronger than yours. So not something that what you be, one will be attacking people or calling them ignorant or so on. So this should be avoided. Allah. I didn't get it. Now the alpha is authentic. It's authentic.
That is
Yakumar. Now. Yes. Lamam. Okay. Now, Lamam, as Allah said, was Al-Ladina Yajtanibuna Kabair al-Ithmi wal-Fawahisha illa Lamam. Those who go away from the major things and they go away from things that are illicit. Illa Lamam, except Lamam, minor things. So Lamam are minor things. Huh? But as I've said, when we say something is what? Minor thing. When one now continuously does something that is minor, it becomes what? Major. Al-Israru ala saghiratin kabira. How to explain? So Allah. Now the first question on Naam as-salamu alayka ya al-Nabiyyu wa rahmatullah, as-salamu ala al-Nabiyyi wa rahmatullah. Which one is what is correct? Both of them are correct. If you open Mu'atta of Imam Malik, the tashahud that Umar radiallahu anhu taught people on the mimbar is the one that contains As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-Nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the one Umar radiallahu anhu taught people on the mimbar. And this is in the presence of a lot of companions. So they didn't say it is wrong. Nam As-salamu ala al-Nabiyyi, this is also authentic from the Messenger of Allah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu
narrated both.
He said, when the Messenger of Allah was alive, he used to say, As-salamu alayka ayyuha an-nabiy. While he was no more alive, he said, As-salamu ala an-nabiy. Was he the one that introduced that? There is a report from Aisha radiallahu anha, the Messenger of Allah would teach people tashahud, and he said, As-salamu ala an-nabiy. Which means, during the time of the Messenger of Allah, both of them were what? They were in use. But after the death, Abdullah bin Mas'ud and some others, they prepared saying what? As-salamu ala an-nabiyyi. But Umar radiallahu anhu, who was the Khalifa Rashid, taught people tashahud, and he taught them what? As-salamu alayka ya an-nabiyyi. So Sheikh al-Albani, in the Sifat Salat al-Nabi, said the one that people should be saying is what? As-salamu ala an-nabiyyi. But other people disagree with him on that, and their disagreement with him is what? Is more correct, wallahu a'lam. Whether to be, it will be a lengthy discussion. It will be a lengthy discussion. But I mentioned some of the evidences that some said what? من كان له إمام فكرة إمام له كرة لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفتحة الكتاب. So I mentioned some of the evidences. But the issue is that, take for instance, Messenger of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفتحة الكتاب. The one who does not recite the Fatiha has no salah. What is the meaning? What is the meaning? So let us treat it together. لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. Whoever does not recite Fatiha has no salah. That لا صلاة, does it mean he doesn't have salah at all, or his salah is not perfect? Yeah? He doesn't have salah at all. The Hanafiya, they do not see it like that. The Hanafiya do not see it like that. The Hanafiya, they consider la salata liman la lam yakra bi fatha al kitab. It's like saying what? La imana liman la amanata la. Whoever does not have amana has no iman. La, that's la, it's la of nothing. And John Mafiyah is wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi is not a believer. Alladhi la yamanu daru bawaika. The one that is neighbor is not safe from his evil deeds. So la here, using what? La salata bi hadrati ta'am. No salah in the presence of food. So the one who has food in front of him, and instead of eating, he goes to pray. So Messenger of Allah said what? La salata bi hadrati ta'am. How to display? La i'tikafa illa fil masajid salata. No i'tikaf. But that means what? The i'tikaf is not valid, or the i'tikaf is not perfect. So the same thing, la salata liman lam yaqra bi fatha al kitab, the one does not recite surah al fatha as no salah. The Arabian said is that what, the salah is not perfect. Not that what, you don't have salah at all. Why? They said, man kana lahu imamun fa qira'atu al imam lahu qira'ah. The one who has imam, the position of imam, so if one is praying behind the imam and the person just remains silent, so the Hanafiya, he has salah. And if one is praying alone, so the Hanafiya, it is wajiba to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, but not farad. The differentiator between wajib and what? And farad. Wajib, which means what? If the person doesn't do it, it's sinful, but he does not nullify his what? His ibadah. Or is it farad? If the person doesn't do it, it's sinful, and he doesn't have that ibadah. Then there are some ahsar from some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like that of Zayd bin Thabit, if I'm not mistaken, Sahih Muslim, that he said, la qira'ata khalf al-imam, that there is no recitation behind the, laysa min al-qira'ah. So I'm trying to recollect the wording of the hadith. But what the hadith is trying to say is that there is no recitation behind the imam. There's no expectation behind the imam. So this is what said by Zayd bin Thabit, one of the companions of the Prophet. Now, as for those who say you have to recite it, they are taking it the way it is. La salata, no salat. No salat. As those who say it is what? It is when the imam is reciting silent, that la salata is what is applicable. But when the imam is reciting aloud, it's not applicable. They said our evidence is that what? وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا. When the Quran is being recited, listen. So why would you be reciting when what? When the Quran is being recited. Likewise, some other hadith like that of Abu Radallahu Anhu, that people were reciting the end of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah said, if any one of you recite behind me, he said, don't recite. Don't recite, except what? Fathat al-Kitab. Then it happened that what? He said, فَانْتَهَى النَّاسُ عَنِ الْكِرَاتِ فِي مَا جَعَرَ فِيهِ الْإِمَامِ. People now stop reciting anywhere that the imam recited aloud. So now this statement is the statement of Abu Huraira or the statement of Al-Zuhri. So scholars in Qadir, what most scholars are upon is that it's not the statement of Abu Huraira. Because Abu Huraira has a statement that non-Muslim reported that somebody asked him that if I'm behind the imam, what should I do with Surah Al-Fatiha? He said, Ikra biya fi nafsik, read it silently. He said it in the position of Abu Huraira. So, Allahu A'lam, at a stage, it's a controversial issue. So, if one takes the author of Zayd bin Thabit that I said it in Sahih Muslim, one may want to say it is not compulsory to watch, to recite. So, you take the one that one believes, one is more convinced of. Allahu A'lam. Like my position, presently, as I'm speaking, is that you have to recite behind the imam. And if you do not recite when you are behind the imam, maybe forgetfully, you have lost that rakah. You have to bring it back. That is the position of Al-Imam Bukhari, Ibn Hazm. That is what I'm convinced of. But this is what is minority's opinion. And one should not be emphasizing it in such a way that what it will be causing a problem in the society. That because some brothers, they are looking for strange things to practice. So that when they get to somewhere, when they say it, people will be looking at them, then you start to watch debate. So I'm people start saying what? So it's just like somebody who hears that, oh, it is sooner to play with the sandals or shoes. They will be looking for more to where you can play with what issues. So that when people are attacking, people don't understand Sunnah at all. And this will lead to what? This is a problem. So, and that's why I did not say this is my position earlier. But this is my position up to this moment. So, Allah wa'ala. Salam? Okay, to say what? Salam wa rahmatullah. Now, if one wants to go by some verses of the Quran that they are greeting on that day of the watch, Salam, some people want to use it like that. But let us practice what we have in the Sunnah. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about what? Assalamu alaykum. So assalamu alayka. Assalamu alayka, assalamu alaykum. Or salamun alayka, salamun alaykum. So this is what is recommended. But for us to say salam only, this is not the practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the practice of the companions. Now can we say salamullahi alaykum? So this is also common with people, but I don't know of any evidence for it. So to say salamullahi alaykum. But it goes. But it is better for one to speak towards the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Someone who
The church. Now the one who expressed is the church after taking the ghusl. What should he do? He should ignore that. He should ignore that just plain if he has taken the ghusl. So unless if he goes back again. But if he doesn't go back, the church is as a result of what has been done before. This should be disregarded, and it should just be the clean faculty. Another option. So if the person sees it, now can he go ahead and pray with it after he has done the cleansing? Can he go ahead and pray with it? This has to do with the position of scholars or whether Maniyu is filth or not. Some scholars have the opinion that Maniyu is filth. You treat Maniyu the way you treat urine, the way you treat Madiyu. But Wallahu A'lam, the more correct opinion is that Maniyu is just like the mucus that comes out of one's nose. That ordinarily, if it falls on one garment or one's body, one does the cleansing. And one removes it, maybe with a piece of clothes or so. But it doesn't mean it what? It is filth. And this is what Abdullah ibn Abbas said. He said, who have been mentioned that in Mukhat? He said it's like the mucus. So it's like the sputum. So it's not something that we treat the way we treat urine. That when it touches our garment, you see, it must be washed. Allahu Akbar. Now, as for Mawdiyu, what most scholars said is that what Mawdiyu is as the ruling of urine. So the one who sees Mawdiyu, maybe he thinks about a woman, or he's playing with his wife then, or she's playing with her husband, and something what comes out, in that situation, it takes the ruling of bowel, of urine. So they have to do the washing of the garment, maybe by sprinkling, washing it, also washing the private part, that is the area that it has touched. So this is what Messenger of Allah recommended in a situation like that. Follow up. A continuous one. You mean Mavu? Now the one who has a continuous Mavu, that person is affected. It's like the one who has continuous urine. So what is expected is that such a person should be performing ablution for every scholar. That's what? Okay. She has what? Bone on the body. Now, there are some things that are major and there are some things that are not major. Almost everybody has his own weakness and maybe some diseases, so to say. But if they are major ones, like somebody who has HIV, for instance, so this one is not a major thing that must be disclosed. So, or somebody who has some other diseases that are maybe contagious, so this must be disclosed. Or somebody who is impotent, for instance, this must be disclosed. And things like that, that are major things that what, if the woman gets to know about that, it will be what, it will be very disturbing for her. Or if the man gets to know about that, it will be very disturbing. So major things must be disclosed. But take for instance, if somebody wants to marry a woman, and maybe the woman is, maybe she has lost her virginity, is it a must on her to say, I'm not a virgin? No, it's not a must on her to do that. And if the man asks such a question, it's not compulsory on her to what? To also divulge something like that. Because it's not something that really, that is really compulsory to know. And that's why it is more the practice of the scholar story to be asking whether you are virgin, are you a virgin or not. No. But maybe if she has what, some serious diseases that are contagious, in a situation like that, she must tell the man. A woman that has burns on her body is not compulsory on her to tell the man. It's not compulsory on her to tell the man. If the man gets to know about that, this is a contract. If he's not pleased with that, he has the right to quit. He has the right to quit. Genotype, is it compulsory or not? Our Salafus Salih did not do genotype. So is it compulsory to do genotype? It's not compulsory. But if the man and the women, sorry, the woman, maybe they are interested in doing that, it is what? It is allowed. Because if I want to go into a contract, I go into what I love. Somebody is an AF, for instance, and what she has understood is that if two AS persons get married, there is this probability of what, having an SS. And he does not want to have an SS. Because she can't, maybe for instance, she cannot withstand that. So if he says or she says that the man I want to get married to must be an AA, she has the right to do that. And he also has the right to do that. If the woman likes that she is an AA and the man gets what, to know that she is what? AA. This is a contract. He has the right to pull out. Likewise, she has the right to pull out because he or she has deceived the other party. But is it a must? No, it's not a must. And that's why I give you examples. When we have somebody who is a disabled, for instance, can one marry a disabled? Yes. Is it a must that if somebody wants to marry, he must marry what? A disabled? No. So somebody who is a disabled has what? A problem. And Islam does not make it compulsory on you to marry what? A disabled. So somebody should not be preaching that, oh Allah, our brothers, no take of Allah. They are not, no. You shouldn't take it to that level because Islam does not impose that on people. But those who feel they can what, cope with the situation of such a woman, or the woman that feels that what, she can cope with the situation of what, such a man. You can't say what? It is haram on her to do that. And that's why we have women who are married to disabled and they are living what? Happy married life. So the same thing, men who are married to disabled. But this is a contract. You don't have the right to dictate to people what to do. If somebody expects something in a woman and he doesn't see that thing, he has the right to what? Of touch. And if it's something that what if the woman should have told the man, or the man should have told the woman, he or she now said what, contrary, the man has the right to pull out, and the woman has the right to what, to opt out. This is what Islam. Some few months back, somebody called me asking concerning a woman. This woman had gym problem, and a man proposed to her, but the parents of this woman told this man that she had gym problem, but everything had what been resolved, and the man proposed, and he did argue. After that, maybe they had about 2 or 3 children. That now resurfaced again. So the man had tried in the situation, so he can no longer cope. He could no longer cope with the situation. He had to divorce the woman. So when some brothers, when they heard about this, they said, "Wallahi, this brother doesn't care, doesn't matter." He said, "I can't cope with this situation." Coupled with the fact that the parents, they told me that everything was okay with her, that she had this case before, but she's okay now. And that was why I went ahead with it. But now she's having this problem, and I've tried my best. I can no longer cope with this situation. So those brothers that called me, they said they were forcing the brother that no, he shouldn't have done that. I said, "Are you asking for the Islamic ruling, or you are talking from what? Sympathy? If it's from sympathy, that's another thing. But if it is what? From the Islamic angle, as long as the parents, they deceive the brother. They deceive the brother. So the brother has no fault. Because they should have told him that this lady is still on drugs." How to explain? The lady was still on drugs, but she refused to use the drug for some time. So that was what led to what? The coming back of that thing. So they only told him that what? She had a problem and everything is what? Is okay now. They did not tell him that what? She's still using what? Drug. So maybe she was trying to hide the drug from the man, maybe pretend, "Wallahu alam," that thing came back. So in a situation like that, this man has the right to what? To opt out. So the issue of maybe caring for her, trying to assist her, that's another angle. But as something that some people will say, "Okay, we can do. Like there was a person who also got married, a woman had gym problem. And this brother, because of what, maybe out of sympathy, and maybe the beauty of the woman appealed to him, so to say. He said, I can marry her. But my first wife, she's worse than..." So they did the act. The first night, the woman started what? The problem. So she was chasing the man in what? With knife. The second night, the man ran away. And he came to the brother that connected him with the sister. He said, "We really bothered you, really. I hope you..." Now, in this situation, the man is what is wrong and sinful. But despite this, he still has the right for what? To divorce. But it's sinful for going into it. Because he knew that this woman had this problem. But also because he has gone into it, you know, it is haram for you to do talaq. So these are things that you want to understand, Allah. No, we cannot use that. Because the case of Javid is not asked the woman that, "Are you virgin or He married somebody who is not married before. And what is known is that somebody is not married before, that person is likely to be what? Virgin. But somebody can lose the virginity for many reasons. For many reasons. Not that maybe she has been slept with by a man. So the virginity can be lost for many reasons. So what Messenger of Allah was really referring to is what? It's not the virginity per se, but is the person previously married or not. So one can ask a woman, are you previously married or not? So a woman who is previously married should not be presenting herself as if what? She has not had any child or she has not married before. That would want to be deep. If the man gets to know that, he has the right to what? To opt out of the marriage. For that reason, he has that right. But asking a woman, are you virgin or not, you know, that question is not compulsory on the woman to answer it. Because the virginity can be lost for many reasons. This, some of the Arabs, they practice something like this. So they now, this now led towards deceit. When some of them that have lost their virginity, so they will go to doctor and watch, this will be amended. And the miskin will think that what is married to a virgin, not knowing that what the situation has been what has been amended. So Allah Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.